Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This place, wanna feel alive, but I can't feel a thing.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Framer, joined, as always, in the Soad Shack, Adam Markham, Bobby Reynolds, and joined in the virtual Soad Shack. It is an annual tradition at this point, PFF's finest, John Macri. John, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I am excited, obviously. The draft is wrapped, and we get to see some landing spots and draft capital, sort it all out now, and hopefully we can help our listeners and viewers kind of sort it out as well, because rookie drafts are going to be in full swing here in the next week or so.
Yes, sir. We'll have a mock draft episode for y'all on Monday. Bobo, you're working on mock 3.0 right now.
Yeah.
Trying to suss out that first round is not easy right now in one QB rookie drafts.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. There was a lot of good landing spots there for receivers at the end of the first, beginning of the second. You know, what do we feel about Bowers and Michael Mayer now down there in Las Vegas catching balls from Gardner Minshew and company? It's not easy. And the running backs didn't really get a whole lot of draft capital. And we didn't think they were going to, but one in the second.
It was even worse than I think what we thought it was going
to be. Yeah, I mean, like, there's going to be some that are some nice dart throws and stuff, but I don't know. Might elevate a little IDP for us. What do you think, Addy?
Doubt it.
You're in a draft right now. It is super flex.
That's not true. Junior Colson was actually the first IDP off the board.
That's what I was asking Bobby about. Is Junior Colson in first round? Not saying you would pick him there, but is he in consideration? Is he in the conversation?
In the first round, absolutely not. That's absurd.
Smart.
This was, I think he was like in the second round, like a mid-second round
pick. He's like a really sexy landing spot.
Yeah, it's a great landing
spot. Yeah, we're going to talk about him tonight as probably one of the, maybe the best landing spot of all the IDPs. Mm-hmm. That first round. John, do you think we get any first round IDPs, one QB drafts at this point with some of these landing spots?
No, I'm with you guys. I think it'd be crazy to do it. I mean, I got some leagues where these guys are like linebacker sickos, and they almost every year we get a linebacker going in the first round, and just like, I can't get behind it.
I think you're right. I think we wondered if maybe one of these edge rushers would be in consideration, because we see that sometimes, the Myles Garretts, Nick Bosa's.
The one that would be in consideration?
Yeah, that's the question. For John, it'd probably be Leiatu Latu.
Yeah, no, it would be Latu for me, for sure. Not in the first. I still think there's wide receivers.
I think you could quarterbacks. Make the case there's probably like 8 or 9 guys that absolutely are like should be in the first round. And then you can argue, I think, about the last 3 or 4. But I just don't think an IDP should really crowd their way into that first round conversation at this point. So even if you're in a big play league and you've got a need at edge, I think just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Wait and get the value. One of those three is probably going to drop.
If you're getting one of those three, like, you don't need to spend up to get the other one, right? Like, you should still be very happy to get one of Verse or Turner as your consolation prize, right? If Latu, say, is the first guy off the board, or if it's the other way around, if it's Turner, if it's Verse, you know, you never know. People might love the Rams landing spot more than anything. So, absolutely. I think you're getting one of those three. I think you're happy, and you just take the best value there.
I think there's a chance you could get one of those guys possibly in the beginning of the third, because the QBs are going to be pushed back. The running backs are going to be pushed into the second. I mean, Junior Colson might jump into the second. So there's a chance you could get one of those top three edge rushers at the beginning of the third.
Now, this is a super flex league. This is no position left behind. I think it's the no position left behind league. As of the 3:08, none of the edges have gone.
Really? Linebacker off the board, though? You said Junior Colson went?
Junior Colson went at 2:07. Huh. This is, again, super flex, tight end premium. But yeah, actually it looks like Tyler Newbin just went at 3:06.
And none of the edge rushers have gone.
So you never know. That's how these things go.
Well, no position left behind scoring, I feel like, is kind of a
people
kind of
draft for need a little bit more. Yeah. I kind of did the same thing in this one. I need a running back. So I've been targeting running backs early, but yeah, I mean, I've got a shot at one of these edge rushers coming up, so I'll probably take one of them.
Let's go. Let us know as you're on the clock, which one you end up going with. So, tonight, we thank you all for joining us. We are going to be talking best and worst IDP landing spots from the 2024 NFL Draft with John Macri. We've done this every year now. I think this is the fourth year we've done this, John. So
it'll be the last,
yeah.
Too.
It'll be the last, yeah. You know, like Kyle Shanahan famously said, I can't guarantee any of us will be alive on Monday. So let's talk, though, John, about everyone's favorite position right off the top. What we're going to do is sort of alternate best and worst, and then we'll finish up with some kind of rapid-fire best landing spots or some worst, John. I think you are a masochist when it comes to the IDP landing spots, not liking where a lot of these guys landed, but you did have some that you liked. And we're going to start in Green Bay with Edgerrin Cooper landing there with the Packers. Tell us why Cooper, not Cooper DeJean, the other Cooper, you thought was a good landing spot there in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, this is potentially one of the, I think what would have been one of the better landing spots coming into the draft, but not necessarily right away for 2024. Like I wouldn't be surprised to see Isaiah McDuffie start in 2024 just because he kind of earned that role last year, filling in, I'd say, admirably when, you know, Quaker and Devondre Campbell were injured. And look, he's a former sixth round pick, right? So he's not scaring you off by any means. But I think the amount of snaps that he played last year when those starters were out, and then, you know, even working in there during the playoffs a bit, rotating with Devondre Campbell out a little bit more, was a bit telling in that they like him to have a bit of a role. So that being said, obviously, Edgerrin Cooper, he's a better prospect coming out, has some great draft capital behind him now in the second round. But I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to let him maybe sit for a little bit, see what's there with McDuffie, maybe let that contract expire at the end of the year before they do turn to Cooper. That part wouldn't surprise me. But I do like this landing spot long term here for Edgerrin Cooper. I think it is one of the better ones for the linebackers in this class. And everything that he brings to the table, love him as a run defender and a potential blitzer as well. So we'll be interested to see how Green Bay utilizes these guys.
Eddie, you posted the Big Baby Quay gif in the tunnel throwing a fit with, I believe the tweet was, Quay Walker, you are on notice, after they selected Edgerrin Cooper and later on in the draft, Tyrone Hopper as well. So yeah. Two linebackers coming in. Yes, Devondre Campbell is now in San Francisco. Isaiah McDuffie is still there. But big Crybaby Quay may be in a little bit of hot water here.
I think the writing's on the wall right there, you know. Not good for him. Yeah, I mean, and Macri can probably speak more to this, but I'm pretty sure the PFF grades weren't that great last year. So it's just not good if you're a Quay Walker stan. Now, I do think, like, he'll be fine. Quay Walker's going to get an opportunity somewhere else, I think. But I think it's a hint that his time in Green Bay is coming to an end. So, I mean, it does probably make his dynasty value take a bit of a hit, because it's never a good thing when a team doesn't want you. But he's still young. He can still get, you know, he can still bounce back, be better in a different situation. Green Bay does that, though. Did you, like, they took so many damn safeties in this draft too, and then loaded up on linebackers. Like, we know they always, like, they just love to pad that depth there, but it's gonna make it pretty scary if Quay Walker owner next year, or if you've drafted him in these best balls, because I feel like his leash just got a lot shorter.
Yeah, Babo, Addy had the Quay Walker tunnel gif. You had mower thought. I was the only loser who wasn't tweeting today, mm-hmm. apparently. You had a mower thought mm-hmm. about Edgerrin Cooper. What had you thinking about Coop Daddy on the tractor today?
You're right, Addy. Green Bay drafted three safeties.
drafted a running back when they brought back who was it? The guy with the huge AJ Dillon and signed Josh Jacobs. Yeah.
What was your question, Josh? My mower thought.
Yeah, your mower thought.
It's just kind of, you know, I got to thinking a little bit about Adam's dynasty ranks, and I feel like at peak Quay Walker value, Quay was probably sniffing being like a top five linebacker there when it was like peak Quay and Devondre Campbell season. Now Adams kind of slowly drifted Quay down to about the LB15 range, which feels it feels a little bit safer, you know, because 12.3 points per game in 2022, 13.6 points per game in 23 is fine, but it's not, you know, he's not lighting up the scoreboard for us at all. So, yeah, I agree. I think Edgerrin Cooper for me, I know we'll talk about a couple other linebackers, but Edgerrin Cooper to me is pretty clearly the he's the linebacker that I want out of this draft. There are some others that walk into better opportunities in 2024, but I'm still hot and bothered by Edgerrin Cooper. I think it could be sooner rather than later for my boy Coop.
So John, I think we're all pretty hot in the pants. Got a, you know, a nice, you know, nice hot set of pants on for Edgerrin Cooper. But what do you think about Adam's assertion there that this is bad news for Crybaby Quay's dynasty value?
Yeah, it could be, right? Like, it's interesting. They're going to bring in a new defensive coordinator now, right? Halfley from, I think it was Boston College where he was. So it could potentially be a different defensive scheme. I haven't looked too much into that Boston College defense too much yet, but there's definitely potential for, you know, as NFL teams move to more one linebacker systems, I wouldn't be surprised to see Green Bay kind of go back to that. They had done it, had success with it before. And now as their linebackers kind of struggle like Quay Walker has, there's definitely potential for that. So I do think Quay Walker, you know, having that first round draft capital to his name, like he's going to keep getting shots in the NFL, whether it's with Green Bay or somebody else, like Adam said. So not like overly concerned for, you know, the near future, but it is something to at least consider, right?
You're exactly right, Adam. The PFF numbers were kind of mid last year. So he did have an 82 grade for tackling, but then 60 pass rush, 52 in coverage, and then an overall grade of 60. So, okay, but...
Isn't that down from year one?
52 overall in 2022.
Okay.
So not, up a little bit, but yeah, not a
great.
Ton.
Yeah, not great.
Not what you want to see from sure. A guy you invest a first-round pick
in. Yeah, first-round pick in. That's where I think he could maybe have a little longer leash than some of these other linebackers that we depend on in IDP because he was a first-round pick, but...
But also maybe not, you know, we've seen, and Kenneth Murray found another job, but like Isaiah Simmons, like it didn't matter for him. Is it going to matter for Zaven Collins?
Yep.
Probably not.
I mean, I kind of see him like Patrick Queen kind of career path where I think because of the capital, and I think he's a fine player. I don't think he's a bust.
I agree.
If he does end up somewhere else, I think he could.
It just feels like the league has learned from their mistakes of, you know, overdraft because you feel like there used to be like what three or four off ball linebackers
going in the first.
Yeah. There was a need there, you know. Devondre Campbell not being there anymore, Macri could speak to a little bit better. But you know, there's a lot of teams that are pretty specifically one LB set type teams like Pittsburgh. We'll talk about later. But you know, for the majority of the time, I feel like Green Bay pretty much rolls out two LBs, and you know, there was a need for some depth there.
Didn't Isaiah McDuffie go to Boston College? That could be helpful for him.
Ooh, a little connection there. Is that
he might be right?
Look at that. And he's, I think, got 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's the end of this year. And he did go to Boston College. He was there.
There you go, Addy. Look at you in the spreadsheet.
Nice,
baby.
That's nice.
Now,
McDuffie season?
I think, well, it could be, you could be looking at Edgerrin Cooper was the Devondre Campbell replacement, and Hopper is potentially the McDuffie replacement if McDuffie walks
McDuffie
in free agency next year.
McDuffie was great at the end of last year.
Right, that's the perfect scenario, right? Quay Walker gets his stuff together, and it's him and Cooper just
eating.
Balling out.
With Hopper as the McDuffie.
Being freaks. And Yeah.
Freaks. Well, Bobby brought it up just a second ago. The what?
Like us.
Yes, us freaks. So, John getting choked up. That's how it goes on this podcast, John. So let's talk about something Bobby mentioned just a second ago. Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the only one we have like this. That is best/worst? ? Peyton Wilson, Pittsburgh Steelers. We had him as a best landing spot. You had him as a worst landing spot. Why are you not so thrilled about Mr. No ACLs Wilson landing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, not that I'm like, not that I hate the landing spot, because I really like the player. I had Peyton Wilson as my LB2 pre-draft. I had just kind of hoped for somewhere that isn't Pittsburgh, basically. Like, I have a problem with the Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker deployment. It's why I didn't like Cole Holcomb when he signed there originally, and I know he got hurt last year, but when we saw him last year as a starter, this is a very rotation heavy single linebacker team. Like, they, when they have their guys healthy, which they didn't last year, so that kind of, you know, forced them to play more snaps for certain guys, but when their guys are healthy, they like to deploy a rotation in how they use them, and you know, especially outside of their LB1, to put those guys out in certain situations, play to their strengths, right? So you look at Cole Holcomb last year when he was their LB1, 78% of snaps, 90% of snaps, 74% of snaps. He was up and down a lot. It started to solidify a little bit between like 80 and 90 before he got hurt, but it was still kind of a frustrating rotation, right? And for these man-heavy defenses, I worry that, you know, every snap matters, right? And if you're not going to be playing an every down role, which Wilson might not be, especially considering the injury stuff, especially considering they signed Patrick Queen to a relatively large deal, that's where I start to get a little bit concerned for somebody like Peyton Wilson. Even if he becomes like their LB2 there, I don't know if he's going to be their LB1 just because of the money that they gave to Patrick Queen. But, you know, if it depends on Holcomb's health too, right? If he's not healthy, then, you know, this could be a better situation. But they also still have a Landon Roberts there under contract too. I think they liked quite a bit from what he gave them last year, and you know, they kept kind of using him. Sometimes it was out of necessity and other times not, but they're keeping him around, it seems. So I just worry, right? I talked about the man-heavy defenses. Those are efficiency killers as far as tackling goes. And then if you're not playing every down, that starts to hurt your IDP value as well. So that was the reason I didn't like the landing spot for Wilson, but I still really like the player. And I could see a path there, basically, if he can get it.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Yeah, there's definitely some competition, Addy, with it's going to be Patrick Queen. That he is going to be. If it's just one linebacker that's getting, you know, 90%+ of snaps there, it's going to be Queen. But Queen, I think, is on a deal that they can get out of as soon as next year, right?
They can save $10 million getting out of that deal next year, yeah.
And I think the reason I would be maybe more optimistic is there is competition, but it's soft competition, in my opinion.
Yeah. Older guys.
Yeah, older guys, injury, you know, guys like Cole Holcomb who have a bit of an injury history. Yeah, so
coming off a bad one.
Yeah, so one of the worst ones.
Yes.
So I think there is a path for Peyton Wilson to get up to that number two seat, and then you're one injury away from potentially being the team's LB1 as soon as this year. And then, yeah, you look at the contract for Queen. This, you know, they can save $10 million next year. It would not shock me to see Patrick Queen on his way out as soon as next year. I think they'll end up keeping him around 1 or 2 years, but we'll see what he looks like outside of the Baltimore ecosystem and without Roquan Smith as his wingman, because that wasn't the best looking situation prior to Roquan Smith arriving.
I feel the exact same way. And the good thing now, though, is Peyton Wilson's not going to cost near as much.
Yes, that is true.
Probably going to be able to get Peyton Wilson like in the late fourth now, maybe.
I was thinking maybe even, late fourth, early fifth.
Exactly. So at that price, I'm absolutely going to be in, because, I think it could be a year before we get to see Peyton Wilson. But I do think we're going to get to see him at some point. And if it does work out, boy, like, imagine that, like, this dude being like a stud middle linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, that could be pretty special. We know that the dude, like, can be pretty prolific when he does get a chance as far as, like, putting up stats. So I think he's worth the risk. And like I mentioned, like, now he's cheap. But, yeah, it could pay off. It could pay off very well for you. And, I mean, the move, we touched on this as well, but get rid of him early. Like, hopefully he gets this opportunity year two, goes bonkers, and then get rid of him. Because guy doesn't have ACLs, but he has just a ridiculous, you know, injury list. Like, what was it Jason King was telling
us?
Like,
10 surgeries.
10 some surgeries. Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, get rid of the guy. Cash out when you can.
But yeah, wait to capture value.
I'm good with it now. Yeah. He was going to be, you know, if he would have gotten second round capital, like late second round, or even like early third round capital, if we're talking like if he was like right around where Colson was going, I think the tune would be a lot different on Peyton Wilson.
He barely snuck into the top 100. He was picked 99 overall.
Yeah.
I believe he was LB4. Edgerrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Trevin Wallace, and then I think was Peyton Wilson next? Was there maybe someone in between Wallace and
maybe Lufau? Did Lufau go before him?
He's the sixth.
I think so.
Linebacker off the board, I'm pretty sure.
Who was?
Yes, Peyton Wilson.
Peyton Wilson was the sixth guy off the board.
Cooper, Colson, Trevin Wallace, Marist
Leofau.
Right. Yeah.
Tyron Hopper, and then Peyton Wilson.
Okay, so he was the sixth LB. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was kind of one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, is Peyton Cooper going to slide out of day two?
Peyton Cooper.
And then Peyton Cooper, good God, Peyton that Wilson.
That would be
Peyton Cooper did slide out of the day two pick. But is Peyton Wilson going to slide out of day two here and not even get top 100 draft capital? He barely squeaks in. So yes, not great draft capital. Landing spot could be better, but like we said, or like Adam brought up, when you have these kind of muddy situations and not great draft capital, the price does go down. So it could be a nice opportunity to buy low and then cash out if he does get his opportunity. So next up here, though, John, I think this, when you sent me your list, this was the only guy that you had, like, very clearly, I actually love this landing spot, and it is the aforementioned Junior Colson landing with his old coach, Jim Harbaugh, Los Angeles Chargers. Let's just glow. Let's just have a good, you know, 5 minutes of feeling great about Junior Colson, John, before we move on to some of the rest of these. What'd you like about Colson landing?
Sure. Yeah, no, this was definitely like the one player for the one exact landing spot that I knew I could definitely get excited about, right? Like going to back with reuniting with Jim Harbaugh in that Chargers defense from Michigan. The competition there for snaps is Denzel Perriman, who I think is going to play, Diane Henley, Nick Neiman, Troy Dye. Like I definitely like Junior Colson's chances of getting on the field here in year one. I mean, he was the captain of the best defense in the country last year. He's incredibly reliable player as well. Like zero penalties this past season, consistently improved his missed tackle rate year over year. As a freshman, right? Like over 500 defensive snaps, he was able to deliver a really strong 8.2 missed tackle rate, finished with 4.7 missed tackle rate in 2023, which is the second best in the entire FBS among linebackers with at least 500 snaps, which is a high bar of playing time for such a low missed tackle rate, which you like to see. My favorite word to describe him is clean. Like he just does everything so well and exactly how you'd want your starting middle linebacker to look. Even in coverage, he's one of the best linebackers in this class. Like he didn't have an interception in college. That really doesn't matter. Like he was top five in this linebacker class in coverage grade, completion rate allowed, first down and touchdown rate allowed, yards allowed per coverage target, explosive play rate allowed. Like this is a guy that I think, you know, as much as we do this like every year, right, where we get excited about a guy, we're like, this is definitely going to be the guy that's going to get on the field year one. And I swear to God, if this doesn't work out, I'm never doing it again, because of all the players that should be able to do it in the right on the right team, it's Junior Colson with the Los Angeles Chargers.
John, you know that's a lie. You know that there will be another linebacker. Even if Junior Colson burns us, there will be another linebacker we'll all fall in love with next year. Sure. But no, Babo, you actually had a YouTube short that came out where you kind of referenced Deion Henley. We're a little bit worried, you know, is he 2024's Brian Asamoah, where he gets rug pulled? And you even mentioned, I think there's some smoke there with Junior Colson, and, you know, easy to connect the dots there with Harbaugh. And I think for me, Bobo, that's the one difference with Colson versus maybe some of these other linebackers that we've seen. Yeah, he's not a first-round pick like Jack Campbell, but he's literally reuniting with the coach that he just won a national championship with. Like John said, clean prospect, soft depth chart. The two incumbent starters both gone. So, I mean, I think Junior Colson, at the very least, has every opportunity in the world to become the LB1 for the Chargers in 2024.
From an opportunity perspective, he might have been the biggest IDP winner in the draft. Because you're exactly right. Deion Henley, Denzel Perryman, Troy Dye, whoever's there, just names. And John's exactly right. Junior Colson is very vanilla. But who doesn't get some vanilla ice cream? And it's like, you know, this is pretty good. I was disappointed there wasn't like whipped cream, sprinkles. I love some cherries.
That's a very old man Bobby take, you know, right there.
But dang, just some,
I'm very pissed if some, I have
to eat him soft serve.
Yeah. Plain old soft
eating
serve.
Eating it with one of those like vanilla ice cream out of like a paper cup.
It's going to leave you happy, you know, but Macri kind of pointed out something that I wish that you could, I wish there was a pre-draft process, and there is with like the interviews and the, you know, the 30 visits and everything that we don't see. But Junior Colson is in the right place at the right time a lot of times. And how hard the NFL linebacking position is to coach for these rookies. I mean, we just got done talking about like how many of these rookies over the last 4 years at the linebacker position have just failed because they're not able to read what the offense is doing. They're in the wrong spot. Missed tackles come. It's just a really difficult position. And when you've got a guy like Junior Colson, sure, his 40 time might be not super sexy. He might not have the craziest RAS and everything. But if you can show that you can lead a defense, you're now going to the NFL with the coach that you just won the NCAA championship with. The more and more I think about Junior Colson, the more it makes you think like, wow, this is the LB1 out of this class. Like, yes, this makes so much sense.
I think the question, Addy, is he the IDP 101 for this class?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess it depends on your scoring. If you're in like some silly tackle heavy
setup.
Yeah, and your setup, of course. If you're, yeah, if you can, if you're only starting, right, if you're on MFL and you're only starting two defensive ends, and where you're, you have the ability to where you can start four linebackers, you know, then yeah, I mean, I think that that's where it becomes kind of a consideration. But for the most part, I'm not in any leagues like that. So it's going to be one of those edge rushers.
I think it was,
but he's like, he's in like the mix now for, he's in top four now, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, he's, it, I think for us, like, we will always opt for edge rushers because they're better stores of value than linebacker. But just the general IDP public, I think Junior Colson is now the IDP 101.
He was in this draft that I just, I'm doing right now. So,
so I think it's, whether it's tackle heavy, whether it's your league is set up to start more linebackers than edge rushers.
He feels really safe.
He feels, it's sort of like a public perception type of thing. Like, coming off of the draft, going to Los Angeles, reuniting with Harbaugh, that depth chart, and people just love linebackers. That's but just it.
It's just, have, when have we had a, I guess, N'Kobe Dean? People were, was he the LB1 in that class? But he was also a third-round pick?
Yeah.
It just feels a little weird calling a guy that was drafted in the third round your LB1. I know there are plenty of examples of hits in the third round for linebackers, but it just feels a little strange. It's like, why'd this guy last so long in the draft?
Because we were thinking maybe there's a chance he goes at like 36 or 37 or whatever it was to the Chargers with their second round pick.
Yeah.
But of course, we saw all those wide receivers go. John, what are your thoughts there? Is Colson the IDP 101 or is it still the edge rushers?
It's still the edge rushers for me as well. Like, I just think for positional value, replaceability in season, edge rusher is a much more difficult and rare position to get a hit. Like, or to keep those hits at, they're more valuable basically, where linebackers are more replaceable. But yeah, I'm with you, Adam. Like, it's definitely weird, like third round pick, right? But it's also becoming like a more devalued position as well in the NFL, right? So these guys are kind of being pushed down the board where, you know, second, third round capital is, should be really the best we're going to get from the linebacker position. I mean, even Jack Campbell last year, like, it was a bit of a reach to get him in the first round. You know, maybe end of the first round was more reasonable, but where Detroit took him was pretty high. But I'm with you. I, you know, just for this class specifically, there was only one other linebacker who was taken ahead of him. And yeah, nothing's guaranteed. It's not a perfect, you know, position or anything like that, but it does feel like the best case in this draft, at least.
I guess it's not like too far fetched because I mean, he was the second linebacker drafted.
Yeah.
It's just whenever you're comparing him to those edge rushers, mm-hmm. guys that were drafted top 20, it's like, eh, yeah. I still would rather have these.
Yeah. I agree.
Colson to me feels like third round.
Yeah.
Mid third.
Mid to late third.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's probably going to go.
He's probably going to go in the late second, early third.
If you watch college ball, everybody's going to know who Junior Colson is. The whole story behind it, we're going to hear it a lot on television. Harbaugh gets his linebacker. I think you're right. I think what you're talking about, you're no position left behind. Mid second, Colson's going to start becoming to be in play, which is crazy because I'm not taking a guy like Colson over a lot of these offensive players or the edges. But you know, to each his own.
Yeah, and people are willing to take the risk. You know, we've talked a lot mm-hmm. lately about how the pool is just not as deep for linebackers That's these right. days. Yeah. There's just not a lot of them out there getting production week in and week
positional
out.
Positional scarcity. I mean, we can sit here and talk about value over replacement when it comes to edge rushers versus linebacker, but linebacker, the pool is so scarce. So if you have a chance to hit on like a three down green dot,
yeah,
that is worth the shot. I think that would be the case that I would put forward. I would still take the edge rushers because of the longevity, because mm-hmm. of the upside, but I could see people making the case.
And Jim Harbaugh has a pretty great track record for linebackers
that he does.
In the NFL.
True. That he does. So, and he just got his guy.
Yeah. I told you guys he was not going to like Henley. Henley oh, no. is a goofball. Yeah. He was not going to be a fan of him.
Yeah, he wants to get Henley in some khakis and a freshly pressed button down shirt, and Henley's not having any of it.
Although, did I see him singing on the broadcast today? I had it like minimized while I was working on stuff, but that was
the broadcast on day three is insane
chaos.
Yeah. It is. Speaking of which, want to give a brief shout out here. Eric Harms just dropped this in our Slack. I totally missed this, but Tobias Stark, Mike's in Motion, International Fan of the Year, announced the pick for the Buccaneers.
Wow.
So shout out Toby. I know he listens to the pod. That is Congratulations, nice. Man. International Fan of the Year. Got to announce the Buccaneers Dang. Draft pick. So
let's go.
Really cool. Really cool. So thank you, Eric, for sharing that. And congrats, Toby, for what an honor. I feel like I would have.
That's awesome.
I would totally lock up. You have it on the card. You just read it, but I feel like I'd be totally just spaced out.
Which pick did he read?
It was
the 220th pick, so it was a 6th-round pick for Tampa Bay.
It was Elijah Klein.
Well, at least it was an easier name, right?
Right, like, yeah.
It would be so much harder if it was...
Rook or Roro.
Yeah, it was Rook or Roro or...
Edifuan.
Edifuan. Yeah, Ulofosio. A lot of names in this draft that could trip
Tobias
people up.
Tobias is German, too, right?
Yes, he is. So that would be very hard. That would be very hard. So... Let's move to the next one, though, John. And this is another one I think we can debate. We have it down as a worst landing spot just because of the competition ahead of him. But it's Jerzon Newton, landing with the Washington Commanders. You have Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne there. What do you think about Johnny Newton? Arguably the IDL 1 or 2 in this class, John, landing on the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, not a great landing spot, right? When you got guys like Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen in the middle there, like, and that's the position that this guy plays. It definitely feels like, you know, they're loaded up there in the middle now. Like, they have a next man up, like, right away that can play, like, Jerzon Newton or Johnny Newton, however he's going by, like, one of the better interior defenders in this class, if you know, arguably the best. I think Byron Murphy is probably the top guy, but Newton was excellent last year at Illinois, and I mean, I just don't know that he's going to get enough playing time there for IDP relevance, at least for a while, until there's a potential out in Daron Payne's contract or Jonathan Allen's. Payne, I think, what he signed, a 4-year deal last offseason, something like that, an extension, right? So
Daron Payne essentially is going to be there through 2025. They have a potential out after 2025, and then Jonathan Allen's contract is going to be pretty tough to ever get out of. He's not a UFA till 2026.
Yeah, potential out for Payne 2026.
They can get out of Allen's contract right now. They can save a good amount of money. especially next year. Next year, they could save almost $17 million getting out of Jonathan Allen's contract. So maybe it's Deron
Payne and Johnny Newton.
I think so, because also I think back to Jonathan Allen on the bench last year, pissed. I mean, no, it's a different situation there now, but he may be ready to go somewhere where he can contend. He's almost 30. He's a great player.
It's also everybody knew.
And everybody knew. I did see some commentary.
They did bring in Newton.
Yeah, new owner, new GM, new coach, new quarterback. I mean, the whole kind of totem pole has switched out for this organization. And I did see some commentary on Twitter that was kind of interesting. I think it might have been for like Brett Coleman or somebody like that. Like, it was funny how much the Washington Commanders were not just like sort of shoving these picks from the previous regime aside. They were dunking on the picks. That, I think, was the phrasing they used. So kind of interesting to me how forcefully they were going after, like, no, these picks y'all made sucked. We are going to make our own picks at these same positions and replace the guys that you drafted.
That's kind of what I see. And also, like, Newton is recovering from
Jones fracture,
I believe. So I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know, they're going to have an out in Allen's contract next year. Maybe they move on from this offseason if things don't go well. You know, he could be unhappy with that pick. So you never know how things go. But I feel like Newton's going to be fine. I think 2025, like, there's a chance that he could be getting 600, 700 snaps. Mm-hmm. And, he's proven to be productive. The pressure rate and stuff was fine in college. Pass rush win rate, I think, it was like 15.4 his final year at Illinois. So, I mean, that's pretty good stuff for defensive tackle. I mean, he was my DT1 mm-hmm. Pre-draft, but you know, with the draft capital and stuff, it's kind of hard not to go Byron Murphy now, I think.
Yeah, John, that's a kind of an interesting question. New head coaches that were defensive coordinators last year, Mike McDonald in Seattle, gets his shot there as head coach. You got Dan Quinn now in charge of the Washington Commanders. Who do you like more for 2024, let's say? And then who do you like better for Dynasty, Johnny Newton or Byron Murphy II?
Yes, it's probably Byron Murphy for both for me, but it's not like, you know, it's a, you know, a huge gap or anything like that. I'm with Adam. I think Newton, there's a good argument for him to be the top interior defensive player in this class. And look, I mean, obviously the situation isn't ideal right now, but like you guys laid out, like, there's definitely a path for down the road. It's just a weird, like you said, like, dunking on the previous regime's picks. It's like two of the best players from that regime were Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen. So why those guys among, you know, everybody else, right? But hey, that's, you know, you're coming in, you're cleaning up, you're starting anew. I get it. I just I hope there's a path for him. I like all three of those guys in the middle, but it does feel like Newton will be the third string for now.
Yeah, I think it could be a lot of these situations will look so much different a year or two from now.
Yeah.
But in terms of just like immediate impact, I think is a lot of what we're talking about tonight. And you do have to see some things clear up in some of these situations for, you know, guys to get opportunities. So I think Johnny Newton's time will come. When will that time be? We'll see. Let's move on to another best landing spot, though, John. And this is one I'm low-key excited about just because the Falcons have historically not had a good edge rusher in many, many years. They had an opportunity to sit at 8 and take Dallas Turner, Leiatu Latu, Jared Verse. Decided to go with Michael Penix for question mark reasons. Still the head scratcher of the draft there. So they do not go edge rusher early, but they do go with Braylon Trice and the third round, the 74th overall pick. What were your thoughts on Braylon Trice landing with the Atlanta Falcons?
I really like Braylon Trice as a player, as a prospect coming out. I think he's a fun player, like very physical, big edge rusher that could do a lot, like a lot more for his size than I think, you know, he gets credit for. And falling to the third round, you know, I thought maybe he'd push for the second round, but I like him here in the third, and I like the landing spot in Atlanta. I mean, the competition there, Lorenzo Carter, Arnold Ebiketie, who I haven't given up on yet. I think Arnold Ebiketie had a fine second season. Zach Harrison played a fair bit last year, wasn't really effective. So I think there's definitely a path to snaps for a third round pick like Braylon Trice. he coming out of this class like 94th percentile in career pass rush grade among prospects since 2016. Really strong number there, coming off back-to-back years with 90 plus pass rush grades. He's 90th percentile in career win rate, 87th percentile in career pressure rate, 80th percentile in quick pressure rate, which I always like to bring up because his size is 6'4", 274 pounds, and he plays so physical too off the snap that I think it's a really nice number for him. That quick pressure rate is essentially pressures in 2.5 seconds or less, right? So, yeah, I really like him. I like the potential there in Atlanta, and they keep doing it. I mean, they just load up on day two picks as opposed to just spending a first round pick on a high end guy. But I like Braylon Trice as a prospect. I think there's a nice potential here for IDP.
Yeah, I mean, is this 2024's Byron Young? We saw Raheem Morris, now the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, work magic with not stellar defensive line group outside of Aaron Donald, and now you get a third round pick in Braylon Trice, who, you know, has some nice attributes there, as John laid out. Addy, I think you could do worse than Braylon Trice. I don't know if he gets. Does he go in rookie drafts? Probably not.
Doubt it.
Maybe like the end of the fifth round dart throw. If you're in sixth and seventh rounds, yeah, probably. But I mean.
Yeah, like John laid out,
land in a worse spot for competition. I mean, it is nobody's ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, it's Arnold Ebiketie, and then Zach Harrison, who was actually pretty solid last year as a rookie. But yeah, I mean, nothing that's going to scare you too much. But I don't know, man. He's a third-round pick. They've just did this the last 2 years trying to keep doing it.
They can't keep getting away with it. But
like John said, like you guys had the 108. You could have taken one of these premier pass rushers and stopped doing this.
Hey, anytime you could take a quarterback with bum knees who may start for you at age 34, you got
to
do it.
I mean, really, they're in a position like with Brian Kirk in, like you could have taken someone that's ready to go right now, like Latu. Like you could and try and compete next year. Just a head scratcher move there at 108 for Atlanta.
I want to throw a couple little bonus names in here from our doc, John, because I was thinking, is this possibly 2024's Yaya Diaby? That might actually be the guy who landed in Tampa Bay, the 57th overall pick, second round choice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chris Braswell. And then, Bobo, your Rammies went with one of the athletic freak shows from the Combine, Braden Fisk, with the 39th overall pick. So that was a little bit surprising to me to see those guys who, you know, we were like a little bit kind of lukewarm on coming into this process, get such good draft capital, especially Fisk landing with your Rammies at 39th overall. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that really elevated the defensive line there for the Rams. I mean, dear God, what they did in adding Braden Fisk and Jared Verse in the first round.
Pretty nice.
You know, something that I heard from Jordan Rodrigue today was that when they watched a lot of Fisk tape and when they watched a lot of Verse tape, they kept seeing how violent these two guys were together and how well they played together. And just the thought of pairing those two guys up in LA, teammates in college, was just not something that they could get past. So it's going to be really fun, man. And this is really... this is really far-fetched of me, and this is probably me getting a little bit head over heels. But, gosh, man, the defensive line for the Rams could be really
looking
good
okay.
in 2024.
Looking pretty good.
You know, I'm not trying to act like Braden Fisk is going to be Aaron Donald, but, you know, a lot of smarter people than I basically have said, you know, Fisk is not going to replace this, you know, world beater, generational defensive tackle, but he's going to disrupt a lot of plays in 2024. Maybe not quite to the extent that Aaron Donald did, because again, you know, generational talent. But man, I know it's always fun with the draft to get hype on your teams and look up these guys and, you know, get you Kinchins and, you know, Jared Verse, the first Jared pick since 2016.
That is the other Jared.
They get into these Jareds in the first round. But I don't know. All that to say, I'm pretty hyped for the Rams draft pick so far this year.
Addy, what'd you think about those two landing spots?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Fisk pick. I mean, he was also a really good tackler for defensive tackle, 7.1% career tackle rate. That was, I mean, among the best in the class. Byron Murphy had 6.5. Newton was 4.9. Devondre Sweat was 7.1. But yeah, I mean, so he's right through the top. And then you mentioned the freak athlete, 9.89 RAS. Mm. But yeah, just that tidbit with them both playing at Florida State, you know, getting to continue to play together in the NFL. And it's a fun team. Like, yeah. It's a fun locker room. That's just, I like what they're doing there in LA. And that does, I mean, it feels like that's going to be, we're going to look up, you know, 8 weeks in and like everyone's talking about this Braden Fisk guy.
Yep.
And Jared Verse. And this, how's this defense doing what they're doing with Aaron Donald gone? You know what I mean? Yep. So I like it. I think that they've done a really good job to start.
There's no replacing Donald, but we should have seen this coming a little bit, because it's like, this is the team that tried to trade for Brian Burns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they go grab Jared Verse. This is the team that just lost Aaron Donald. So yeah, they're going to spend a top 40 pick on an interior defensive lineman.
And that's quite opposite what they normally do. Obviously, they trade all their first round picks, but
well, Peter Schrager swears up and down they're going offense. They're going to trade up for Brock Bowers and all this. And
I mean, like Kobe Turner and Byron Young were both like third round at least.
Yeah.
Was one of Byron Young a second?
He was a third.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right, Josh. You basically see, like, we really got to address the whole line. We're not just going to be able to add a lot to and change this whole situation here. So I said that wrong. We added Jared Verse. I keep forgetting Verse. I'm thinking Fisk here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Would you have rather added Brian Burns and traded that pick away?
No, I think they went about it the right way.
Because we talked about it a month or so ago.
I would not want to pay Brian Burns $150 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of guap.
A lot of money.
For someone still kind of not super proven yet.
Right. I mean, he's never really from, and I know John knows this, but like from a PFF standpoint, never been like a big pressure boy.
Yeah.
Never had like the most elite pressure rate. So yeah, I mean, I love Ryan Burns, but I don't love him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather have Verse and Braden Fisk. John, what did you think about both Fisk landing in LA and then Chris Braswell, Alabama, landing with Tampa Bay, their opposite, assumedly, Yaya Diaby?
Yeah. I really like the Fisk, pick like you guys laid out there. I love Kobe Turner as well, so that's kind of a nice pairing there. Obviously nothing replaces Aaron Donald like we keep saying, but it's a really nice pickup.
Or
there.
Does he?
Maybe, you never know. But I wish they would have added a second linebacker. Maybe they add somebody like late in the off season.
No, we don't need that, John. We're good.
Just the second one, you know, just
talk
somebody
about Braswell.
So Braswell going to Tampa Bay. I like Braswell. I don't think he's a bad pass rusher. I think he's actually pretty good. I think he's probably more of a designated pass rusher to start, right? And that doesn't necessarily have that run defense floor where he can potentially get some more tackles for us. I think in the NFL, like really poor run defense grades coming out of college, 68.1 for his career. That's 20th percentile. Even his best career run defense grade was a 67.2. That's 7th percentile among prospects since 2016. So really poor numbers as a run defender, but all of his pass rush metrics are pretty solid. And I think there's definitely potential for him to be one of those kind of big play upside guys, but lower floor.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it rolling. I just wanted to toss those two guys in there because we had them in our doc and they got better draft capital than I remembered in the moment. So let's move though to a worse landing spot. We talked about him a little bit earlier. I think he was the third or fourth linebacker off the board to the Dallas Cowboys, Maris Leafau, or Puafau, as you called him in our Slack, John. What has you so enraged, upset, distraught over the landing spot for Mr. Leafau?
Yeah, I just don't like him as a player. I think the pick for
don't
where
like him as a
taken,
person.
Don't like him as a person either.
Yeah, bad heart. There's strike two, John.
I'm sure he's a good person.
John, immediately backtracking. His Canadian instincts kick in.
Say it with your chest, John.
Can't help it. But yeah, I think this is actually the landing spot that I settled on with Kyle when we did the linebacker episode. More because I think he needs to be in a rotational spot and likely won't emerge as anything more than that. Like, you got Eric Kendricks there, you got Damon Clark, you got Marquise Bell as well. DeMarvian Overshown, who they spent a third on last year, if he's healthy. But like, I just don't like Leafau at all. I think he's going to have to go through a dramatic transformation to be relevant as an IDP, or at least an effective one, if he does get playing time. Like, for me, he was the most tentative tackler in this class. He's incredibly frustrating to watch. It's almost like he's waiting for the ball carrier to run into him before he tries to wrap up, is how I said it with Kyle. Like, he already had a really bad 18.4% missed tackle rate. And honestly, I think it could be worse than that if he actually attempted tackles at a higher rate, but he doesn't. Like, he's fine at getting into position. He just doesn't have any aggression to his game. He had the worst first contact rate in this class at 6.2% for his career. He had the worst run stop rate in this class at 4.7% for his career. And then obviously that leads to like a really poor 7.8% tackle efficiency, obviously, because of all that, which is also the worst in this class. But yeah, Lufau, he's not a wartime consigliere. He doesn't have what it takes to be an IDP on my roster, I don't think. So I'm out on him, despite where him being drafted inside the top five linebackers in this class.
Yeah, he sounds like Leofau may be scared to compete.
Sounds like it, but that's awful stuff right there.
Yeah, that was
7.8% tackle rate. I mean, that is a joke. That is like brutal. A cornerback. That's like
cornerback numbers, yeah.
Yeah, truly.
And then what was it, 18.6% missed tackle rate, John?
Yeah, 18.4% missed tackle
rate. Wow, that's got to be one of the highest in the class.
And you look at his production too, man. Wow. I mean, across, looks like 33 games, the guy put up just 117 tackles.
I feel like you could do that.
I think I could. I think I did do that.
I think you did.
At least I did that.
At least.
Did it appear. Every night.
Spreadsheets.
Every night.
Locked in right
best
now.
Best player of all time. That's every right. night.
Living legend in your own mind. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's, why was this guy the? Yeah,
it's the Cowboys. What are we doing?
What are we
Dallas?
Doing here?
It's a weird one. I don't know. I didn't see him on any top 10 list. No. I don't think. Right.
Cowboy fans got to be pissed. They did not. Yeah. I feel like this was,
because
not
there was some solid, there was some better people on the board. I mean,
Peyton Wilson.
Like, yeah, if they would have got Peyton Wilson, like, that would have been exciting. Like,
yeah, that would have been fun. I would have been much more excited about Peyton Wilson in Dallas than Pittsburgh.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Maris Leofau. That's a head scratcher.
Never know. Maybe he emerges and you know, proves me wrong, but I don't feel good about it.
John, just own it, baby. Just hate it. Just let the hate flow through you. Be a Sith. All right. Sure. Addy, I wish I could give you the solo cam, but we only have one camera for tonight.
I'll move it for us, Josh.
Yeah, John. Bobby, please don't ever touch the camera. That is against the rules. But this is your boy. He got good landing spot here. Cole Bishop, Buffalo Bills. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, both gone. It's Taylor Rapp and the Cole Bishop show potentially. Addy, what'd you think about Bishop landing with the Bills?
I love it, man. I mean, that's a primo spot. Cole Bishop was my safety one pre-draft, and I don't think much is going to change here. One of the youngest safeties, 21.5, absolute freak, 9.88 RAS. Also somewhat thick and a little taller than I realized, 6'2", 206, 4'4", 5'40, 39-inch vert, 10'4 on the broad. So a really nice athlete. And then one of the more productive safeties, 10.9% career tackle rate. You compare that to like Tyler Newbin at 8.4, Javon Bullard at 8.7. He's got everything you want in safety. Also, the usage is really good. I think he played like 73% of his snaps in the line, in the box, or in the slot. So hopefully that translates. And I mean, I don't know that scheme-wise Buffalo's the best, but I'm not going to be scared off by that stuff with a player like Cole Bishop. That stuff can always change too. You never know how that stuff goes. But I think I'm going to bet on the talent and leadership. I think he's going to be a great fit there.
John, I feel like he checks a lot of boxes. This is one of the players that we had consensus best landing spots on. Why are you excited for Cole Bishop in Buffalo?
Yeah, I'm with Adam. I love him coming into the draft as well. And I think the landing spot does help him. Maybe, you know, we'll see what it does this year, but I definitely like it long-term. He was somebody that I didn't talk about in the, like, as our safety preview one that we did, but I did talk about him with Mike and said that, like, I got to have this guy inside my top three safeties for sure. And part of that, I just loved how he played around the line of scrimmage. Like Adam said, I think nearly half of all of his defensive snaps were either in the box or on the defensive line. And like, he's not like a thick safety by any means or anything like that, but he's just really effective at playing in that role closer to the line of scrimmage and rotating down and being productive in that role as well. So second best first contact rate in this class for the safeties at 8.8%. 6.6% run stop rate as well, second best in the class. Like, didn't have like an amazing coverage grade or anything, but you watch him and I think he's got he's got good speed and range. He could cover ground quickly. I really liked him quite a bit. And I think with Buffalo, you know, I know they got Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards, Damar Hamlin. But I think there's definitely a path there. I think that system could work well for him. You know, Taylor Rapp probably going to be the guy that rotates down a little bit more. But I think with Buffalo, they've always done it where both guys, you know, there's an opportunity for both guys. It wasn't so much with Micah Hyde, but with like Rapp and Poyer last year, they both got opportunities. So I think there's going to be work there for Cole Bishop to be productive for IDP as well. I like him quite a bit.
Babo, safety one. Get you Newbin, get you Kinchins, or get you Bishop.
Probably Bishop. I think Bishop so could fill in that Jordan Poyer role, honestly. And Jordan Poyer has slipped over the last couple of years, but man, peak Jordan Poyer there for Buffalo was
pretty
like
good.
A top five safety.
Pretty good.
And honestly, those two linebackers there, you know, Milano, we'll see what he looks like when he comes back, but Bernard and Overshone.
Overshone's Dorian. In Dallas.
Yeah, Dorian Williams.
Sorry,
Dorian,
mix those up. Dorian.
Nicholas Morrow now too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It could be. You could see a little production from Bishop in 2024.
I would say it's close with Newbin because I like the landing spot for Newbin.
I do too.
But the athleticism, which is not everything for a safety. But yeah, it's. I think you could make a case for each of those guys. You said Cole Bishop's still your safety one, Eddie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinchins.
And Newbin is certainly lacking the athleticism. 3.72 RAS.
I was
going to
say, maybe one of the worst RAS scores. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Was his, like, did he break a toe or something before he had to run the 40? I mean, what's going on here with this guy? John, your safety one now in this class. Is it Newbin, Kinchins, Bishop? Where's your head at right now with that?
Yeah, it was Hicks pre-draft. I think with him falling, that changes. I'm fine with Cole Bishop as safety one. I'm still working on my IDP ranks and keep tinkering, but I'm probably going to have him as safety one.
Javon Bullard also probably deserves some conversation. He was the second one off the board in this in this draft. Drafted at 26 in the second round.
And it depends on how you look at Cooper DeJean as well. It sounds like he's going to be playing cornerback. Yeah, I think it's a fun DB group because it's not.
Yeah, that's a fun discussion. Who's DB one? Would you put DeJean over Cole Bishop?
It's tough because you have a pretty established CB group there in Philadelphia, and then you also have Quinyon Mitchell, who they brought in the first round. Mm-hmm. So,
but isn't
I don't
that
know.
Good though? I mean, you got Quinyon Mitchell, a guy that could potentially be a lockdown.
Yeah.
So where does DeJean slot in? Is that a Brian Branch type of role?
If he plays slot,
is that like Gremlin?
Wheels up, dude.
Like Sigmund Blue mentioned, kind of the Gremlin chaos creator.
That's the thing. I think he's gonna play all over the place. I mean, I think that's the type of player he is. I'm not really thinking he's gonna stick to the outside.
Didn't they bring back Chauncey Gardner Johnson as well?
Yeah.
Yes. And then you got Sidney Brown there.
Sidney Brown's recovering. There. Blankenship's there.
Avante Maddox also got brought back as well,
Avante
right?
Avante Maddox is there.
He does.
James
he plays
Bradbury.
A slot. So they have a lot of these pieces that are the same. But I feel like DeJean's gonna find his way into at least the top three. Maybe not next year though. Honestly,
it's tough. I think DeJean is the guy I want to say. It's like what my heart would say. Yeah. But
Maybe we see all these vets get released or something too, though.
Could be
like Darius Slay, James Bradbury. Maybe something's coming with one of those guys because right now it is very crowded. Mm-hmm. But I am going to be willing to bet on DeJean's upside, and especially if you're in a league that rewards return yards. I mean,
if nothing else, I've enjoyed all the memes and videos.
Oh my god,
on Twitter with
hilarious.
Cooper DeJean, it is an all timer
so
right now with the. With the comment I love circulating, the white person that said it's our Jackie Robinson. So we are doing great. Finally having an athletic white DB in the NFL. It's a good time to be alive. So yes, Cole Bishop, big time winner, nice landing spot. John, I'm curious your thoughts on this next one. We had Jonah Ellis as a worst landing spot. Pretty good draft capital for Ellis. I think we like Ellis as a player. And prior to maybe a few hours ago, this landing spot was a little bit nicer for Ellis because you had Baron Browning, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, but then they go and trade, I think, a 2025 or 2026 pick to get John Franklin Myers from the New York Jets. So with that edge room, or that defensive line room, I guess I should say, now in place, you also have Zach Allen there as kind of a mainly like an interior guy, but
one of the most underrated players in the league.
Who's that?
Zach Allen.
Yes, absolutely. So just a crowded defensive line group. What were your thoughts on Jonah Ellis landing in Denver?
Yeah, Jonah Ellis, I'm not crazy about him as a player. I think there's definitely things to like about him. I think it's hard, right? Like Denver, it's hard to get excited about that group because there's so many of them and they're all going to get some playing time. And I think they're going to rotate just because nobody's good enough to quite command like an actual full-time workload. So I think rotating these guys is probably the best route they can go. It's a lot of cooks there in the kitchen and, you know, maybe not like MasterChef level cooks, more like MasterChef Junior or something like that. But like Jonah Ellis, yeah, I think he's fine. I have a hard time getting excited about him because I wasn't overly excited about him pre-draft. Like I could pull up some of his numbers. I mean, 49th percentile career pass rush grade, 31st percentile career win rate, 37th percentile career pressure rate, 32nd percentile career run defense grade. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of a guy for me at that. We'll see. I don't like saying that these guys are not great or anything because they could definitely emerge and be good. They're not done developing yet. So, but Jonah Ellis is one that is probably going to be somebody I don't end up with a lot of.
It's just kind of a swamp he landed in, man. It's just like a lot of like just mid-tier kind of guys. And like John said, there's just not anyone there that emerges for me. So yeah, maybe Jonah Ellis could be that guy, but it's messy right now, man.
I don't mind Jonah Ellis. He's one of the more younger prospects in this class. I think he's 21.1. So, I mean, that's younger than Dallas Turner. But he's got some things that I'm willing to bet on. You know, I mean, the three cone, like you got to start there. 6'6", 9" three cone. That's 100th percentile three cone.
That is pretty nice. Good.
Pretty solid good. Right there. We know about all of his brothers. He's got 10 brothers. 5 of them are in the NFL. You know,
really are they his brothers, Christian Ellis and Caden Ellis?
Yeah, that's his brothers. That's the other Ellis bro.
That's the double S bros.
Oh, wow.
He's got another brother that's coming up that was a 3-star recruit that just signed at Utah. Wow. So
imagine growing up in that family.
Yeah.
Like Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving football games.
Brutal. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
God, you'd have to have 3 jobs to support those boys. Yeah, man. With groceries.
Just groceries. Yeah, for sure.
Or you just kill a cow.
Like, yeah, you have to live on a ranch and just cook your own, kill your own food, eat what you kill. So,
but I'm okay with him. I like Denver. I like Zach Allen. I'm envisioning. Could you imagine Zach Allen? Jonah Ellis and Drew Sanders.
Something about speaking of the whites,
just going at it.
Exciting whites.
Yes, that's exciting whites wine aisle right there that Adam's shopping.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I like what they're doing there. Yeah. I like what they're doing there.
A lot of hands on your heart saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day at noon after practice.
They need to get Bo Richter in there. I'll say that.
They do need to get your boy.
They need to get Bo Richter in there right now.
They need to get Bo Constrictor in there right now to lead them in the Pledge of Allegiance. A lot of good
Utah Jazz of the.
Yes. A lot of good boys in that group. Zach Allen's probably the guy I want from that group. Because it's kind of a group where it's like, take your shot. Are you a Benito guy? Are you a Baron Browning guy? Are you a John Brinkley Myers guy?
Their time's running out, though. Baron Browning is getting like his contract coming to an end, I think, pretty soon.
Isn't time running out for all of us, though?
Well, of course. But I feel like he's in the final year of his deal, right? I think this will be year 4 for him. And then Benito, this will be year 3. So
I think you're right.
They're planning for, you know.
Yeah.
Future-ish.
Yes.
We'll see. Next up here, speaking of getcha Kitchens, Baba, we'll start with you on this one.
Yeah.
Your Rammies go with Cameron Kitchens. I believe, am I correct in remembering that the RES was not the best for Cameron Kitchens?
Yeah, 2.4.
2.42
for
Mr. Kitchens.
Sure.
But lands with the Rammies there. He was their third-round pick, I believe. So... what'd you think about your boys picking up a safety? You got Cam Curl. They got the Cameron Bros now, I guess, at safety with Cameron Curl and Cameron Kitchens. That's pretty weird. Sure. What are your thoughts there, Babo?
Yeah, I mean, pretty clear to me that Kitchens is going to play like free safety. 5 INTs in his career there with Miami. It's okay. I mean, I'm not in love with it at all. I feel like there was probably maybe some better picks that you could have had there. I'm not sure had Hicks hadn't gone yet. Solomon hadn't gone yet either. So I don't know. It feels very mid to me. Does he have a cool name? Yes. Do I trust him?
Does he have a cool name?
Do I trust him in the
his
secondary?
His name is fine. It kind of sounds like a kid mispronouncing
Kitchens.
It's pretty
cool, man.
Kitchens.
Sounds like a country. It's like where you eat supper is the Kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, come on in the kitchen.
Get you in. Come on. We're going to have like,
supper. You know, we take a pull of dip. It's get you a pinch. It's yeah, get you a kinch.
Get you a kinch. Okay. Get now kinch. I'm back
get
in.
Get you a kinch. Get you a noob.
Get you a noob.
Get you a noob.
All right. John, I'm back in now that we're getting us a kinch. What do you think?
You like kinchins or not?
I probably like him a little bit more for NFL than IDP, yeah. But I do like the landing spot at least for, you know, for getting on the field and playing. Like it's, I think Russ East and Quentin Lake are the other safety options over there. Right?
We love Quentin Lake.
Love like Quentin Lake. Players okay, named after things.
Yeah.
Yeast and Lake.
Yeast and Lake. Yeah. Of course. But yeah.
A lot of name talk in this, this segment here.
Yeah.
Been too long.
I think Cameron Curl's obviously going to be the safety you want there for the Rams. But I mean, those deeper leagues that you're looking for a guy that's going to get on the field, I think Kinchins is perfectly fine. I did have concerns about him, you know, like just dropping an overall play from 2022 to 2023, had a 90 overall grade, 90.7 coverage grade in 2022, but then 67.8 overall, 65.1 coverage in 2023. Not sure what happened there. Glosser loved Cameron Kinchins. He's a University of Miami guy, and he was one of his top three safeties. And I know he liked this landing spot as well. But I think more probably for NFL than IDP for me.
Macri, Cam Curl have a better 24 than he did 23 points per game.
I liked his 2023. I thought it was good. I think it's definitely possible. I'd put it close. Well, what did he finish? He was just outside top 12, or was he inside top 12 for safeties in 2023? Yeah.
He was like outside the top 24.
Just outside. Yeah, outside top 24 safeties.
Maybe he was in there total finish.
Yeah, 11.4 points per game in 23.
Eddie, why don't you let's? Do you know can you pull up the finish to see where Mr. Curl was?
Sure.
I want to clarify. He was the 99th pick overall. I had said earlier that was Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson was 98 overall. So both these guys just snuck into
Kinchin was, almost a fourth, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm, he was. And they had to get Luke McCaffrey in there, Christian's brother, at the 100th overall pick. So, of course, the third round is a little weird just because that's when the compensatory picks start coming in. So you go from 32 picks to 37 picks in the third round. So that's how we're able to get 100 picks. So I'm trying to vamp for Adam to finish. Where did Cameron Curl finish last year, Addy?
Well, I've got it by DBs. So he was DB 36.
Okay.
But 11.4 points per game. I can tell you what that is on a points per game basis.
Let's see.
Points per game wise, 11.6 points per game is good for DB 39.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, and I really like his potential to be like the second linebacker there for the Rams, Cameron Curl, because they don't really have like a guy. Like, I think he could come in and do that the way he did for Washington quite a bit as well. So, definitely, I guess I would say then better this year than last year.
He'll be overdrafted. He'll be drafted as a top 15 DB. But him especially, people love them some Cameron Curl. I think it's the dreads.
I mean, you know, can we blame him? We have fallen for dreads before, sure, guys. Let's cool. not let's they're not. Cool. So, from one Cameron to another Cameron to Jalix Hunt, who we have as a worst landing spot, landing with the Philadelphia Eagles. And John, this one for me is not so much about the player, which, you know, we can have that conversation as well, but it's just about even with Hassan Reddick gone, they bring in Bryce Huff. Jalix Hunt lands in a situation now with Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, Julian Aquara. It's just a very crowded room there. And even with third round draft capital, 95th overall, not the best spot for opportunity at the very least.
It's not the best spot for opportunity. And I don't know a lot about Jalix Hunt. He was not on my watch list or on my board prior to the draft. I was surprised to see him go in the third round just because, what is he, FCS, I think, for out of Houston Christian or something like that?
Yeah, Houston Christian University.
I don't
know
where that is. That's got to be FCS, right? I'm
probably in Houston.
You would think it's in Houston. Yeah,
it's actually in Kentucky. I just looked it up right down the road.
But yeah, like you said, the opportunity is going to be the main thing. They got some great pass rushers over there that are definitely going to be playing ahead of him. So yeah, he's just not going to be on the radar. I don't think he's going to be somebody that we're going to be looking to draft.
Yeah, should I think Aaron maybe in the UK, they lost a draft pick along the way because he was actually 94th overall, third round. But yes, very crowded.
There was a room. Forfeited pick in there somewhere because that might have thrown things off.
Oh, okay.
I think the Dolphins had a third round forfeited pick, so I think that threw the numbers off. They okay. still count. Yeah.
These freaking forfeited picks, man. The Dolphins just yeah. keep screwing us with these picks. And that we're probably going to get the Falcons going to get banged now for the tampering with Kirk Cousins' contract. So that'll affect next year's draft.
Maybe they'll take away the Penix pick.
There you go. That'd take Penix. Cool. Put him back in next year's draft. Let him be 27 when he gets drafted again. Addy, any thoughts on Jalix Hunt? I mean,
interesting. I mean, it's Philly, you know, they usually are pretty sharp when it comes to evaluating players and edge rushers. They've had a pretty good history of guys recently there. So yeah, it makes you wonder, yeah, what you're missing. Cause I mean, you know, this guy was the 11th edge rusher off the board in this class. And then really good athlete, 9.22 RAS, good size, 6'3 and a half, 252, 34 inch arms, 83 inch wingspan. And then it was, I mean, I know it's Houston Christian, but 14.2% career pressure rate. That's not bad. Pass rush win rate his final year was 18.9.
He was Philly's third pick this year behind the two cornerbacks.
Also a solid tackler, 8.4% career tackle rate. So, I mean, who knows? You know, Bryce Huff was undrafted. Yeah. There's plenty of cases where things like that happen. Jonathan Grenard, you know, I think he was a third, fourth round pick. Yep. You never know.
But I like the team.
I like it's the team. I like the team. It's a crowded room right now.
Yep.
But
Josh Sweat, they tried to get rid of him all year.
But we can continue to say, well, what happens when Brandon Graham is gone and Josh Sweat is gone? Well, they're just going to keep drafting defensive linemen. So the room is never going to be this true. Like two or three edge group. Yeah. It's going to be five or six have a guys rotation. Deep. And that's just how they build their team. They build their team along the trenches on both sides of the ball.
The trenches.
So
he's trying to trenches. Get
I'm trying to kitchen it.
Trying to make something, ain't you?
So we want to wrap up here, John, with a few quick hitters. You had some other best landing spots that we wanted to hear more about, starting with Jordan Titz McGee landing with the Washington Commanders. What did you like about McGee landing there in D.C.?
Yeah. Not to get too excited about like a fifth rounder, right? But I mean, I liked him as a player. I think he's got a good athletic profile. He was kind of impressive there coming out of college, like plays fast, plays aggressive, excellent range, 11.3% first contact rate, fourth best in this class. I think he had a 9.32 RAS, I think it was. I could be wrong on that, but it was in the nines. Really good as a blitzer as well. I think that puts him in a nice spot in Dan Quinn's defense specifically because he's such a good blitzer. 37 pressures, 11 sacks, 90.7 pass rush grade in 2023. Played very similar to Edgerrin Cooper. Played close to the line of scrimmage, played that spy role, played that blitz role. I think that's what Dan Quinn likes to do with his linebackers as well. I know you got Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu there. Bobby Wagner's on a one-year deal. I think there's a nice potential fit here for Jordan McGee in that Dan Quinn defense if they don't add to the linebacker room, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, let's just keep it rolling and hit up your next guy here. It is I believe, edge rusher who landed with the Bills, Javon Solomon. Talk to us about Solomon.
Solomon, probably another one of those guys that I like more for NFL than for IDP. Probably going to be more of a rotational guy there in Buffalo. But he's like a smaller kind of discount AJ Epenesa type player. So really good pass rusher. He's not a liability defending the run, even though, you know, he's a smaller player. I think he's 6'1", under 250 pounds, but really explosive pass rusher, has a good first step. Decent pass rush grade, you know, in 2022, 81.5, and then improved that to 88.4 in 2023. Is 91.6 career pass rush grade, is 89th percentile among prospects since 2016. He was productive over there at Troy as well. He even broke the school record for sacks over DeMarcus Ware and OC Umanura, if you're into that kind of thing. But I like Solomon as just kind of a exciting, small, little quick pass rusher.
All right, and then last one, DB landing with the Kansas City Chiefs. It is Jaden Hicks. What did you like about that landing spot?
Yeah, so Hicks, I like I said before, I had him as my safety one, and you know it was starting to look pretty grim there. I don't mind the landing spot. I know Kansas City, you know, they've got some options over there in their safety room, but I don't think they're great options. I think there's room for Jaden Hicks to work his way on the field. I think he does well in the slot. I think he can play that box role really, like, which we love for IDP purposes. He was really effective around the line of scrimmage. One of the best first contact rates in this class as well, 8.7%, strong tackle efficiency. He's top five in average depth of tackle versus the run as well. Really, really physical player. You know, there's definitely missed tackle issues and stuff like that there, but I liked what he did as a coverage defender as well. He's got strong coverage instincts. I think he could stick with wide receivers downfield. He proved that against Jalen Polk as well. There's a really nice rep he has with him where he picks the ball off. And I like Jaden Hicks. I think, you know, maybe not for 2024, but definitely one of those guys that I'd be keeping an eye on for down the road.
All right, boys. So Jordan McGee, Javon Solomon, Jaden Hicks. Any other ones you want to touch on besides that, or any comments on those three players?
Like all those picks, one that I'm a big fan of, Tyke Smith, landing there in Tampa Bay. It may seem a little cloudy right now, but I actually don't think it is. I mean, if you look at the usage for Tyke Smith, he has played 67% of his snaps out of the slot, 21% were in the box, 7% were on the defensive line. So that's 95% of his snaps coming from the slot, box, or on the line. So I think he's going to be competition for Christian Eizian, who played 67% of the snaps out of the slot last year. He's just a versatile piece. I mean, there's a world where, you know, him and Winfield and Jordan Whitehead could all get on the same field or get on the field at the same time next season, I think. But also, I think Tyke Smith is pretty good insurance for if they can't get a deal done for Winfield. I mean, Tyke Smith could be walking into a really nice role next year. But I like him to get on the field a little bit this year just because of his versatility. But he's one of my favorite players in this class. He was my safety three going in. He'll probably still be around there. 9.91% career tackle rate. That's among the leaders in this class. And early production at West Virginia, got hurt when he transferred to Georgia, and it took him a little bit while to get playing time, but senior year he broke out. And so I like this fit here in Tampa Bay.
Babo, any other quick hitters you want to mention here at the end?
I have to also echo what Macri said. Oh, where's Twitter? There it is. Jordan McGee, yes, 9.92 RAS. To reiterate, led team total tackles and TFLs. 2-year captain, 3-year starter. He didn't miss any games. McGee is a guy that Daniel Jeremiah actually liked and talked about being a pretty headsy player through the combine process. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what a guy like Jordan McGee behind of Bobby Wagner can learn. You know, don't think there's going to be much there for him in 2024, but maybe for the future, definitely a guy to pay attention to. Two quick names I'll give you, just some guys that I've kind of liked. Cedric Gray, I think that's a really good landing spot there for him in Tennessee.
That's a pretty good landing spot.
You know, we've pretty much talked about that. The linebacker who got brought in there,
Jack Gibbons.
Correct. You know, Kenneth Murray could really essentially be like a 1-year deal if he doesn't play well, doesn't look right. Cedric Gray, talented guy, sideline to sideline, might lack a little bit upstairs in terms of, like, you know, learning the NFL linebacking process, trying to, you know, set up a defense, look at what the offense is going to give you. So, yeah, Cedric Gray is a name that I like. And then another one, just because of need, I think he's going to play probably sooner than he's going to be ready for, but Austin Booker there in Chicago, they didn't really address anything on that edge until it looks like the 5th round there for Booker. So Booker walks into a pretty primo situation opposite maybe Montez Sweat. So I don't know how many snaps Booker's going to play. He's super athletic, but he was pegged a little bit more as like a developmental type of guy. So I don't know what throwing him to the fire in 2024 is going to look like. But those are definitely two guys that I kind of want to see, how the offseason and how training camp kind of unfold, just to see if there's any buzz for those guys.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I like it. We also didn't talk about Marshawn Nyland. He's in a pretty good situation there, landing in Dallas.
Marcus Lawrence, I think, is expiring after this year.
He's getting old. You know, Sam Williams, he's been in trouble in the past. Hopefully he can get it together. I like Sam Williams, but you know, you never know.
Dante Fowler's gone. The guy to the Commanders.
Dorrance Armstrong's gone. So I mean, there's a path there. They took him 24th in the second round.
Yeah, draft capital.
9.08 RAS. So not the worst. And then there's a couple other safeties that are kind of interesting. I think Dadron Taylor Demerson's, he's in a good spot there in Arizona. Buda Baker's probably going to be out of there at some point.
Yeah.
And then Malik Mustafa landed in San Francisco. One hell of a tackler, probably one of the better tackling safeties in this class. 10.9% career tackle rate. Mm-hmm. That could work out as well. You know, I mean, it's Hufanga's, I think, is obviously safe, but I mean, Jair Brown, he could be replaced. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
he'll be free.
This is the last year of DeMarcus Lawrence's contract in Dallas. He is a UFA in 2025.
So, I mean, yeah, Nealon will also be free, I'd say.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think he did the best PFF-wise, but...
Some nice edge landing spots for, like, sneaky Yaya Diaby late season kind of playing time opportunities.
Looks like...
Guys to pay attention to.
Nealon was the sixth edge drafted.
It's pretty good.
If you include Darius Robinson as an edge. What do you have him listed as an edge, John? Darius Robinson?
Yeah, I go back and forth with him. I think he's probably going to play more interior. I think that just makes more sense for him. Yeah.
That's crazy then. I mean, because so if that's the if you're including Darius Robinson as a interior defensive lineman, that means Marshawn Nyland was the fifth edge after Chop Robinson. So Latu, Turner versus Chop Robinson, Nyland.
Well, how close was he to being a first-round pick? He was the one that was
getting... He was 224.
224. Okay, he was the one getting first-round buzz. I was like, really? Marshawn Nyland?
It went
but he was a late riser that I thought, okay, I mean, not going to be shocked if this guy goes first-round, but I still don't really see it.
Yeah. He performed really well as like a run defender for us, and less so as a pass rusher. Like, his pass rush stuff was... It was fine, but it was where, as a run defender, where he really excelled, so... It'll be interesting. I think he did well athletically as well. So,
yeah, I'm looking now. Looks like he had a 8.3% career tackle rate. So that is really good.
Also kind of interested a little bit in Trevin Wallace. That's an interesting spot there for him in Carolina. Macri, real quick, let me get your quick take on Jeremiah Trotter. What's your thoughts there with him in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend a lot on what they think of Devin White there in his one-year tryout, right? Because I think N'Kobe Dean...
Newsflash, not great.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be great. Right?
I am from the future, and it is not great.
We've seen what it looks like. But yeah, Trotter was... I didn't think he would drop as far as he did, obviously. I think that fall was... probably a bit excessive for him. Like I not that I had him as my top linebacker or anything like that, but I thought he was better than what that draft capital suggests. At least he performed really well for us in our stable metrics and stuff, but I think it's a nice spot for him to at least kind of sit back and develop. And I mean, God, Devin White, I'd be shocked if he gets a contract extension there just based on his past, but it's not a bad landing spot. Philadelphia. What do you think about it?
No, I agree. I think so too. I don't know what y'all's thoughts are, but I'm moderately optimistic about it. I don't think there's any just world beaters in front of him. Mm-hmm. You know, they did just roster Zach Cunningham and Shaq Leonard in 2023.
Who still does not have a job, I don't think.
No. That's where his daddy went too, right?
Sure,
right.
That place.
I like that a lot.
Uh-huh. Nepo baby landing where his daddy worked.
Junior and senior.
The script writes itself. I was looking kind of at some of Mike was all over that. He had Trotter way down in his ranks. He had him as his ninth ranked linebacker pre-draft. And then I saw on his list Edifuan Ulofosio, who landed with the Bills, which I thought was a nice little landing spot as well for a very athletic linebacker. So,
what about we didn't mention Tyrese Knight? He landed in an okay spot. He landed there in Seattle. Yeah. I mean, it's Jerome Baker, who's on a 1-year deal, and then Tyrell Dotson, who is also on a 1-year deal, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they took him in the fourth round.
I thought they would go LB earlier, so I'm a little surprised by that.
But
so,
still, he was the eighth linebacker off the board in this draft. I know Mike's a big fan, solid athlete, 7.41 RAS, and then he was extremely productive at UTEP, 14.5% career tackle rate. So he's fine. I mean, that's, you know, it's not the scariest depth chart. They got a new DC, new head coach in there, so... I mean, you kind of like that he's going and getting a guy, and it's a linebacker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Something to pay attention to.
Kind of throw Tommy Eichenberg into that same
group. Where did Eichenberg land?
The Raiders?
Yep, Las Vegas.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It's not like, it's not super, you know, high capital, but it's a...
Him and Splane?
Yep.
Yeah. Together? I love that. Trash Bros. I love that.
Get them over to Denver.
Yes, let's get a trade.
Pledge of Allegiance. John, you were telling me before we got on Mike in Slack that... I think it's for the offense. You hate, or you love the landing spots and hate the players. And for the defense, you hate the landing spots, love the players, I think is what it was, right?
Yeah, pretty much. There's definitely offensive players I like, but I was lower on this wide receiver class, I think, a little bit than most people. I think some of them were a little bit overblown, and then they landed in pretty good landing spots so that they have the potential to emerge there, but I less excited about it. And then there was some linebackers and edge rushers that I was kind of hoping for better spots, but that wasn't terrible, I guess, for defense. But I always have a hard time getting too excited about rookie IDPs, right? Because we know that playing time is hard to come by, but there's definitely going to be guys, especially those first round guys, early second guys probably as well. And Junior Colson, I think, are pretty safe bets here. But
like I said, Addy, we got the mock draft episode coming up on Monday. So make sure y'all check that out. We've got a lot of our IDP show team members filling in to help us do that as a live draft on the show. We'll break down our picks in the moment. So we'll kind of see where a lot of sharp plugged in folks are how they're feeling about these IDPs and about these offensive players and these landing spots. But any big final thoughts, risers, takeaways, anything that kind of just kind of struck you here as we sit at the completion of the 2024 NFL draft?
Oh gosh. I mean, it's another great year, another great draft. I think you want to be patient. You know, I think we kind of preached that before going into this draft. You just want to be patient, let the value fall to you. I mean, as far as the edge rushers go, I mean, I'm in a spot right now, I'm on the clock and none of those edge rushers have gone.
Are you on the clock right now?
I'm on the clock right now.
What are you thinking?
At 310. I mean, obviously I'd love to go Dallas Turner.
When do you back up? 410?
410.
Oh, are they going to be there? 410?
I'd say as soon as I take one of these guys, then everyone else is going to.
You got to go Dallas Turner. You got to break
the
seal.
I think that's a great spot for one of those guys.
Yes,
that's
even
really
a super
nice
flex.
Value.
That's really
a ridiculous. Yeah. But I think you just want to be patient. Don't be a flag planner. You know, no one cares. No one cares if you got your guy right.
And you're going to feel like an idiot when you plant your flag on someone that's like a Deion Henley who gets replaced a year later.
Exactly right.
So don't be cute. Let the value fall. Babo, I think my takeaway is just like the thoughts we had pre-draft about this IDP class. Don't get cute. Just let the value fall to you in the late third, fourth, fifth round. I feel the same way because I think the IDP shook out about how we expected. It was an offense-dominated draft, and I feel like rookie drafts are going to be the same way.
Yeah, you're exactly right. How many guys can we count on for sure in 2023 to get any type of meaningful snaps? Maybe like 5 or 6, you know? There will be some guys that have opportunity and
shot. Yeah, there'll be some waiver guys pop up.
But for right now, there's not a lot of guys that we know going into 2024 are going to see 400 snaps. You know what I'm saying?
Be a few edge guys and some linebackers like going into the season.
A lot of corners.
Aside from the corners. That is a great point. And then maybe some safeties, you know, maybe.
Some DTs.
Some of these guys get starting roles and nice opportunities.
Yeah,
so.
Cole Bishop year one should be starter, I would imagine.
I would imagine
unless
so.
They do something not good and bring in like Justin Simmons. He's still lurking out there.
That's
too.
True. Remember, I forgot. Yeah.
He's about to
waiting to kill somebody's IDP value. So Any final takeaways though, Bobo? You're putting together Mach 3.0. Is your head just like spinning right now?
You know, I played basketball for like 2.5 hours today.
I don't know how you're still upright.
My back locked up about 30 seconds into the first game. So the fact that I was able to sit here and pod with John Macri for like an hour, I'm super impressed with myself.
Oh, we're
so
90
Bobby,
minutes in at this point, baby.
Pat on the back. Good for you, buddy.
Not too hard, though.
I got to hurry up and get some Tylenol.
Don't pat on that back too hard. It will lock up again.
That's my final thought.
Well, before
Josh.
Bobby goes, has to be taken out of here on a stretcher, we will let you guys go. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode, Best and Worst Landing Spots, one of our favorite pods to do every year. John, we appreciate you hopping on here and talking about these IDPs and their new teams with us. Let the folks know what you got coming up over at PFF.
So I'll have a bunch of rankings out this week. I think the first one is going to be offensive rookie rankings. It'll be one QB and Superflex in there. I'll have the IDP rookie rankings. Those will be out shortly after, I think Tuesday. I'm going to try to do combined offense and IDP one as well, like I did the year prior, and then updated dynasty rankings as well all this week. So big rankings week for me coming out of the draft. It'll be busy.
Rankings week. We have the IDP show draft kit dropping on May 1st, which is Wednesday. So we will have Mike Wohlert's projections. I think he said he's up over 400 players projected now for the 2024 season.
I'm in the sheets grinding right now. So, I mean, you can get in there and take a look right now, folks. I've started putting in the rookies into the existing dynasty ranks. I've started pretty much getting the one QB ranks together. And so that'll, you know, I'll be able to quickly do the super flex. Probably get those done tonight, honestly. So
we'll have rookie ranks ready for you all when the draft kit goes live, updated with Scott, Adam, and Bobby's consensus in there.
DM us if you have drafts right now. Like, seriously, we don't mind to help.
Absolutely.
You know? But we will get those rankings out as fast as we can.
Thread count on them sheets getting higher and higher.
Out of control.
Softer, 2,000 thread count sheets. We're talking like nice Christmas present from the parents right now.
We got another cool thing coming, too. We're going to be...
We can't tell them.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you. Another little just freebie for you.
Hey, well, if you want to check it out, I'll put the banner back up. Check out the website, theidpshow.com. The draft kit goes live May 1st, youtube.com/@theidpshow. If you want to watch the show and leave us a 5-star rating and review over on Apple and Spotify and for the PFF Fantasy Podcast as well, do that for John Macri. Do it for us. Do it because you love us. And we'll check you all on Monday. Hope you all enjoyed the draft. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, y'all take care. We'll see you soon.
I can't stop now. Haven't hit my prime. I can't stop now. I want to feel alive. I can't stop now. Too many of my friends die. I can't stop now. I can't stop now.